talked about. The way they you gotta put it in perspective.
Kevin, hi, can you answer the phone, please? The one on the desk that's ringing, that one.
Oh, that one.
Yep.
What's this place called again?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, Allie, could you remind me who's going to be the performer at the next Super Bowl at halftime? Because
Lady Gaga!
I didn't really hear
Lady Gaga!
Who it was. Maybe I had my radio down. I don't remember.
Lady Gaga!
So, you could, you know, just
Lady Gaga!
Blurt it out when I hang up and, you know, they can play it.
Lady Gaga!
I'm going to turn the volume up way up.
Lady Gaga!
I really need to know who it is, so
Lady Gaga!
Once I hang up,
Lady Gaga!
Go for it.
I feel like
and
it's,
now.
Is everything a joke to you guys?
Just your mama.
Our feature presentation.
That hurts.
Maybe too early.
That's painful.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a bad lady.
That's not a good noise.
Yelled that.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It is the 27th of October. Yeah, it is.
A couple more days of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Allie loves
it. I do.
Are you not a fan of the Rocktober?
No, I totally am. Because I get to watch the look between Chip and Kevin. They are so pleased every day that they have it.
Baby steps. You know?
They have
you
it
do
happen.
Something.
It's going to be one of those days.
We know what you meant.
You're welcome.
I like this time of year because we're so close to Blovember, and that's really the holiday where it all comes together for me.
Oh.
So,
dear.
Right out of Rocktober.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Hey, rain coming tonight? Everybody excited about that?
Yeah, it's supposed to be rain tonight and most of tomorrow.
Didn't see that.
Yeah.
Like a fair amount, like not sprinkles, like for reals rain, right? Huh.
Really excited.
Yeah.
Don't need
Allie,
it.
You have 20 episodes of something you're going to watch?
Oh, at least.
Sit
at
inside
least.
With
Come
the
on.
Rain pittering on the windows?
Yeah, I've already got my blankie, everything set up, just
you're all
waiting.
Set.
Yeah.
Hot tea.
Yep.
All right, you're in business. Hey, I've got a big show for you today, but before we get started, forgive me if I don't think we've done this this story before. The attorney L. Scott Briscoe, you guys familiar with him?
No.
He's a public defender, I believe, in West Virginia. And he encounters so many things in the course of his job that he has started putting some legal tips, some free legal advice on his Facebook page. Again, L. Scott Briscoe, West Virginia. To help others who may be trying to navigate themselves through the police or through the legal system.
Okay.
And you start reading some of his free legal tips, and you realize it's a pretty interesting job sometimes being an attorney, I guess. Here's some examples of some of the advice that he's giving out for free on the Facebook. Free legal tip of the day number 7. When running from the scene of your crime, the law will be able to track you down if you leave behind your wallet and your car and your friends sitting in your car. So, again, that's something that he saw.
So don't do that?
Don't do that. So he's passing that along to you in case you were thinking of it.
That's a good tip.
When using a friend's urine in an attempt to pass a drug screen, you should drug test your friend first.
That's a good plan.
Good advice,
yeah.
Right?
Because when you're actually at the point where you're asking your friend for their urine,
mm-hmm.
You're definitely going to go the extra mile and test them.
I would think so.
You would hope so.
Right.
Can you imagine,
like on
though,
Atlanta.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
Yeah, right, exactly. Can you imagine that? That's why you need a baby around at all times, Kevin.
That's right.
Can you imagine this person that he's referring to who thought they had just, they'd beaten the system by getting somebody else's urine, and then it turned out that person was on drugs, too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
When charged with indecent exposure, do not wear your crotchless blue jeans to court.
That is good advice.
Really committed, though, that guy.
If you're going to break your home confinement to attend a protest, fight the power from the back, away from the news cameras, and don't agree to be interviewed on television. Maybe don't do that.
Good tip.
Ladies, personalized vanity kits have many useful purposes. Toting your meth to court with you in your name-bearing kit and then forgetting it there in the bathroom is not one of them.
That's real talk right there, man.
Mm-hmm. Here's free legal advice for men. When a woman asks you to send proof of your girth and length by holding your credit card next to it in the photo, it's not your pride and joy she's wanting to see. Major points for identity theft creativity.
Wait, does that happen?
He says all of these are from his experience of things that have actually happened that he's actually seen in the courtroom.
Allie and Chip, do you guys know anybody
no.
in your entire lives that have ever done that?
But that's fabulous.
It's pretty genius, right?
Some dude's like, oh, my credit card? Yeah, I'll put it
right
up next to it.
I'll put it right up there.
So
I'll
much
show
bigger.
You.
Oh, my God.
Free legal tip. You're doing well under cross-examination when the prosecutor says you chased all those pills with a pint of liquor, didn't you? When you reply, I did not. But you should stop before capping it off with, it was 2 pints. Good advice. We got time for a couple more?
Sure.
After convincing the judge to let you leave jail for a relative's funeral, do not call your cousin from your jail phone under the sign stating calls are being monitored and recorded, and ask him to drop the drugs in the deceased relative's casket for you to retrieve at the service.
Wow. Except for planning ahead, so you get points for that.
Yeah.
Sure. Free legal tip of the day, number 45 wins. Selecting your alibi witness. Do not choose one who was already in jail while you were not committing your own crime.
Mm.
Two more. Avoid bashing the judge in your case on Facebook, especially after you have friended him on said Facebook. And finally, never, 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 never say those two special words to your circuit judge. You know the two words I'm talking about. Unless you are a juvenile with a hankering for some lengthy detention time, then go for it. So apparently the FU is not really ever. What two words were you thinking, Kevin?
He mouthed them and they were incorrect.
They were incorrect.
I mean, he doesn't say what the words are, but I'm assuming that that's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay.
Those two
special
words.
Maybe I was right then.
You might be right.
I may have been right.
Maybe you are, but that's pretty, I think, pretty good free legal advice for the Kevin and Bean listeners.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Is that bad? It's bad, right?
We have Dr. Drew on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ask him about super gonorrhea. That's a thing.
Oh, is that a new superhero?
Yeah, new DC from DC Comics.
No, it's
yeah.
gonorrhea that will not, no drugs works on it.
Oh.
Super gonorrhea. It's taken over the world. There's nothing we can do. We're all going to die tonight.
From gonorrhea.
Yep. Jim Rome on the show today, like we do on Thursdays, talking World Series, talking Scottie Pippen.
Oof.
Talking NBA.
Mm-hmm.
We have your best Irvine Meadows memories. This is kind of sad because Saturday night and Sunday night, Gwen Stefani plays Irvine Meadows, and then done.
Gone
Wrecking
forever.
Ball, tearing it down. Bummer, right?
Yeah.
By the way, anyone going to Gwen, tell me they're not going to, people are not going to be just ripping up seats and stuff.
I would think so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Souvenirs, right?
Tickets for the LA Clippers home opener, which is Sunday night. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball is happening tomorrow night at the Fonda Theater. Red Hot Chili Peppers are the entertainment, and you will be there in costume, plus have VIP access to our private rooftop party if you win the prize. We got them for you all day long here on K-Rock starting at 9 a.m. We got a little extra special pair of tickets for you even before then. So you are early Kevin and Bean listeners. Stick around for that. Hey, Ellen McKay.
Hey, Bean. Remember yesterday we talked about that man that took was it a sledgehammer? Was it a pickaxe? What was it to Donald Trump's star yesterday?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then some reports were it was Tuesday night.
Yes.
Then Deadline said no, it was at 5:45 this morning. We had the exclusive. And by exclusive, we had a cameraman there ready for him to do it.
So he gave him a heads up.
Yeah, he had to,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, of course.
So bizarre. Well, here's the deal. His name is James Otis. He said he's ready and willing to go to jail for the crime because he sees himself as sort of a modern-day Robin Hood.
Was he going to give parts of the star to other people?
He planned to auction off parts of the star to donate money to the accuser's legal defense because Trump has vowed to sue them. The people that came forward saying that he sexually assaulted them in the past decades. Whether he will indeed sue them remains to be seen. But he says he's an activist, and that was his main motivation, standing up for the victims. Well, here's the thing. Now that he's gone public taking credit for vandalizing the star, the police are looking for him. And because the plaque is worth $30,000... he's confessing to a felony.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So
that's why I was asking yesterday why he would be doing interviews on this, because he's confessing to a felony.
Yeah. So
he's turning himself in this morning.
Oh, he is?
At 9:30, yeah.
Excellent.
Sit down.
Well, he will sit down. This is great news for Bean. One of his favorite people in the world is developing a new comedy for CBS. Deadline reports that LL Cool J... is going to be...
Oh, stop making that noise.
It's what he does.
Guy's being crazy how much he licks his lips while hosting shows.
Oh, makes me laugh so hard. Deadline reports that Brotherhood will be about two brothers who have to move back in together in order to raise their 10-year-old brother. The show is based on a British show of the same name. So,
right.
LL Cool J producing new comedies, you guys.
This is the Grammys!
It's really, it's like watching a lizard.
It's not that bad.
It really is not that bad.
It really isn't.
But now that we've pointed it out to the Kevin and Bean listeners, every time the Grammys rolls around, don't we hear from tons of people who said, man, I never noticed it before, but you're absolutely right.
Yes, but you don't notice it for the most part. You can catch him doing it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he doesn't do it.
Yeah,
he
it's just it like a little tongue
thing. He doesn't really do it all the time. Mm-mm.
Make some noise.
That's you.
No, that's actual audio from the Grammys. Wow. So
that's crazy.
It is. With the Cubs playing the Indians right now, everyone, of course, was talking about, will Charlie Sheen get to throw out the first pitch, kind of relive his glory days as Rick Wild Thing Vaughn, run out to Wild Thing. Will that happen? Well, it didn't in the first two games. However, Charlie Sheen is working on another Major League movie.
Really?
This is crazy.
No way.
I know, it's true. Major League 3 would have him once again playing Rick Wild Thing Vaughn, and he tells The Hollywood Reporter that Tom Berenger, Corbin Burnson, and Wesley Snipes are all on board.
Check it.
They've been trying to do it for a few years, but, quote, there have been some hang-ups with the rights.
Okay.
Okay.
If all they right. want me in it, it's a smash. If they don't, it's a turd that opens on a tugboat.
I'm
it's
sorry?
Got a point.
That's,
guys, the first Major League was a phenomenal, very funny comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything about the second one.
I have to say, when I saw Major League 3, I was
You're
like,
surprised?
Really? There was a second?
Oh, I missed the second one.
I don't remember it. Do you remember?
I don't, no.
Anyone?
Right. I remember vaguely, but nothing.
Vaguely, no, but that's a bad sign.
Oh, well, Charlie does.
Boom.
Boom. Well, there you have it right there. Boom. And the best news coming out of yesterday, Disney's Muppet Babies are coming back. Variety reports that Disney Junior is rebooting the 1980s cartoon series, which will premiere on the cable channel in 2018. The two 11-minute cartoons in each episode will be obviously geared to kids aged 4 to 7.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
No.
They're all dead now.
Oh, you've mentioned that, Dorothy. I'm very sad about that.
Waka, waka.
Ah, Allie was way too excited for a show that its demo is 4 years old to 8 years old. She was screaming yesterday after the show.
Oh, my God. Baby Fozzie is the cutest. I don't think there's anything cuter than Muppet Babies. Ever in life.
Waka, waka.
Right? Imagine that, but a little baby Fozzie. Oh, I cannot wait.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Well, Rodney, it's the Muppets, but it's them as babies.
F*** that guy. What would you need him for?
Right?
I mean, he's kind of the star of the show, right? Fozzie telling jokes as a little baby? Little baby jokes?
He is a dick,
he is not
right?
a dick, and I will fight you. All right, you guys, all of these stars?
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
Now we
Did
have
I go
a problem.
Too far?
Now we have a problem. Only a couple of birthdays today. Duran Duran singer Simon Le Bon is 58, and this will be up for debate all morning long. How do you pronounce it? Is it John Cleese? Is it John Cleese?
I always thought Cleese.
Me too.
Always thought Cleese, but Dave, the king of Mexico, just told me it is in fact Cleese.
If he's the only one, then I think we stick with ours.
But then I just read that his grandfather said it was always Cleese, but so many people said cheese, so he changed it to Cleese. So I feel like if his grandpa changed it, how do you know his grandpa, Dave? Right? Who's with me? Actor John Cleese is 77. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Dude, you watched an hour and a half of Rats on purpose? Your goal was to watch an hour and a half of Rats?
It was a probably about an hour and a half, 2 hour show, including commercials, on the Discovery Channel over the weekend. And I wasn't going to bring it up, but then Dave and I were talking about it off the air. Dave saw it too, and he agrees with me that it was an awesome show.
So
right, King?
Fascinating.
About rats?
Yes.
It was so fascinating.
It was crazy. I don't want to see 5 minutes on rats.
No, thank you.
You should.
Why?
Because then you'll get knowledge on these rats.
I don't want knowledge.
You'll learn how to beat them. Which the answer is we can't.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so one of,
at least I don't have to watch it.
One of the takeaways is that we can't beat the Wrath. They are smarter than we are. They are always evolving to be able to beat whatever we do to try to kill them. And there are more of them than there are of us. Yes. And I'm telling you what. This footage is, it's horrifying. This is the, this, forget whatever scary movie you're planning on watching for Halloween weekend. Watch the Morgan Spurlock Rats documentary. You'll never see anything more terrifying than this.
I don't want to watch that.
A horror-mentary, as they call it.
It is a horror-mentary.
Do you know why? Because rats.
There's a lot that I learned about rats that I didn't know about. For instance, there is a rodent management class that you can take in New York. It's called the Rodent Academy.
What?
And everybody, you know, people who work in, you know, food safety business or just regular homeowners go by, exterminators go by, and they talk about all the different ways that you try to fight rats. And one of the things that I thought was so interesting, and this is perfect for early in the morning, is the history of rats.
Rats originated in Mongolia area, as far as we know, hid in the ships and fed on whatever the sailors were eating, came across the ocean over to the New World. And so they spread in the way people spread. The greatest danger rats pose to us is disease.
By the way, Dave, do you remember what the stat was? They spread the way people spread, meaning by doing it. But how many – weren't they having like litters of like 10 rats every 3
every
months
three,
or something?
Yes, 3 months. It was litters of 11.
That's how fast they spread, which is, again, terrifying.
Of course, everyone knows about bubonic plague. Rats and their fleas wiped out 200 million people. But there are other diseases. There are cases of E. coli, Bartonella, Salmonella, Rickettsia. The fact that they inhabit sewers. Rats can carry 5 million viruses on 1 foot.
Okay, hold.
Five million viruses. Oh.
5 million viruses on 1 foot.
That's what the man said.
And they have 4 feet.
They do, Ellie.
Oh.
I can't do the math. I can't do the math, but that's a lot.
It is.
Oh, God.
And it's so – one of the things that was so crazy about this documentary I found, Dave, was seeing the old men who go out every night in India and catch them by hand and turn them in at the end of the night for $6.
Yes.
They're out there chasing and catching rats all night long for $6.
Or for the whole night.
For the whole night.
Oh,
but you know what? Yeah. I'm kind of glad the rats are there because if he wasn't killing rats, that homie would be killing something else.
And really? You think he enjoys it a little bit too much?
Crazy, yeah.
And then the other part of the documentary.
You guys watched this movie on purpose?
Yes, it's so good.
It's super good, Kevin. The other part that I was surprised about was to see they went to Cambodia and they shadowed this bunch of people who go out and catch rats, catch them alive in traps.
Why?
Right? They don't hurt them at all. They just catch them in traps.
Oh,
you know, put big traps out there. And then they drive across the border to Vietnam and they sell them to a guy who is in charge of providing restaurants with rats. And
providing restaurants.
Yes.
Yes.
With rats.
And it's on all the menus in Vietnam. It is like you and I eat chicken, they eat rats.
I don't
what?
And
it's this little guy.
Didn't you just say they have 5 million diseases on 1 foot?
Well, yeah, but
those are the sewer rats. Those are the sewer rats too.
Oh, you cook them.
Yeah, and it's you'll see this guy in a little motorcycle with this big, just cages of rats.
You know what?
And
I'm not going to see that. That's the thing.
And he just takes them, and they cook them, and they strip them. And just
that's so gross.
Them eat them up.
Everything about that is
would
gross.
Would you eat a rat, though, if you were in Vietnam?
No.
Come on.
No.
You have to try it.
Rats are filthy.
Let's try a rat.
No.
I'm going to get one right now.
These rats are not filthy, by the way. They're out living in fields.
Yeah.
And, again, they get drowned, skinned, and cooked before they're served.
Seriously. I mean, as much as I hate rats, let's not talk about the details.
And by the way, apparently it does taste just like chicken. I know that's the old joke that everything weird
meaty.
Tastes like chicken, but it tastes just like chicken.
I don't want that.
But we're so arbitrary when we decide what to eat, aren't we?
Yes, we are, and I don't want that.
I'm going to find you some rat meat.
Good luck.
This is like making the back of my throat tingle.
Right?
Like, this is disgusting.
Did you take a look at the photo that I tweeted out just
absolutely
for you,
absolutely not. I just blocked you.
Go ahead and look at my Twitter feed, at Clyde Tombaugh, and
will
see the
not.
Photo. Dave, I took a screen cap of when they were doing the autopsies on all the rats because they keep track of what kills rats and what the rats' lives are like and everything because they try to look for trends and
what
things
the
like that.
Rats' lives are
dude,
like.
There's so many different things.
Are there rich rats and poor rats?
Sure,
yeah, dude, they're gangs. They're like bosses.
They're gangs.
Dude, they are.
The picture that I tweeted out, though, is a live flybot larva that they pulled out of a rat.
No thank you,
I mean,
sir.
Why? Oh, what Discovery are you doing?
That's my point. Why are you why would you watch this on purpose?
The more you know, Kevin.
No.
The more you know.
You know that's never been
the more you know.
My motto.
Here's a here's an exterminator who has been killing rats and making a very good living doing it, by the way. In fact, he recommends going into this business because he says, not a lot of people want to be me, but I make great dough doing it, and I love the work, and it's very satisfying. He's been an exterminator in New York City for 48 years. That's what he's been
doing.
Wow.
That's
so he knows a little something about rats that he's willing to share right here.
Now, when a poison is put down, rats are very wary. They look at it 3-4 days. What is that? That's something new. They'll send one of the weaker rats in. Go ahead. Take a bite.
No, sir.
Then they watch him. If Mikey dies, they'll urinate on the bait. Nobody will touch it.
Okay, this is good information.
That's gangster right there.
They send in a weaker rat.
Yeah. They send Mikey. It's always Mikey.
It's always Mikey.
Pretty sad Mikey for Mikey. Mikey will try it. That's why.
R.I.P. Mikey.
Wow.
R.I.P. Mikey, indeed.
But haven't you ever you ever had a rat problem?
No.
Yeah, yes, I have.
Okay.
I have.
And you know how you put down the most tempting bait of all and you think, how can they not be going for this? Look at this. This is peanut butter wrapped in a Cheeto or whatever it is you decide to use. And they won't touch it. It's because they're smart. It's because they learn. It's because they know about traps, for instance.
Can you put peanut butter in a Cheeto?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just throwing that out as an example.
Great one.
I know.
Here's more from Mr. Exterminator.
They're just smart. So, kill a rat in a trap, the other ones see it. Maybe you're not going to go too near the trap too quick after that. They're so intelligent, constantly evolving. It's becoming harder and harder to kill them.
How about that music, by the way?
I mean,
It's a horror documentary is what it is.
Wow. No, anyway, no.
Currently running on the Discovery Channel. If you've had dreams of seeing someone walk up to a pile of trash in New York and shake a bag and watch 100 rats come out from under it.
And what I learned from this is to get a terrier. Terriers love rats.
No thanks. And I don't want any part of this.
Got boarded.
Right?
Got boarded.
Well,
fabulous.
Right.
Outstanding. Yeah. Yes. Wonderful. Uh-huh. Terrific.
Right.
Got boarded.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how you
want
to start your day right there. Hey, listen, we're looking for you if you're a Clippers fan and you want to go to the home opener versus the Utah Jazz. It's this Sunday at Staples Center. Plus, there's a grand prize we'll tell you about that's going to be awesome as well. You got to know your basketball, okay? You're a fan of the NBA and you love the Clippers. We want to hear from you and give this to a real fan. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play a game for the tickets next time. Clippers versus Jazz this Sunday at Staples Center. I want to give you some tickets and qualify you to win this grand prize to see the team again with the Portland Trailblazers coming to town November 9th. Now, that night, you'll be at Staples Center with the VIP valet parking, which, Kevin, you were just explaining to me is not cheap when you go to an NBA
game. It's about $100.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
So you get the VIP valet parking if you win the grand prize, access to the pregame warm-ups, participation in the pregame fan tunnel, and passes to the Hyde Lounge. And at a minimum, you'll walk away with tickets for this Sunday. This game is called My Name Is.
My name is.
Do you like Clipper games? Do you know a lot of the NBA players' nicknames?
Yeah!
Well, come on now and show us why you came. But don't get it wrong, because you'll have yourself to blame.
Bingo! Hi, my name is... What? My name is... What? My name is...
Some NBA player.
My name is... What? My name is... What? My name is...
Some NBA player.
Come on. Yay! Gentlemen, DJ Omar Khan with the intro, right?
How about that?
So that's the way it works. I'm going to give you the nickname. All you have to do is tell me which player it is that we're talking about. And we're going to make it even easier for you by giving you your choice if you'd prefer a current NBA star or one of the all-time greats. You just tell me which list you want us to draw from. If you get it right, you go into the drawing. Somebody wins the Clippers tickets.
All right, let's start with Armando in El Monte. Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Armando. You want a current player or you want one of the all-time greats?
All-time greats.
All right, I'm going to give you The Dream. The nickname is The Dream. Who's the player?
Wow. Jerry West?
No, I'm sorry. Kevin, tell him.
Clyde Drexler?
Hakeem Olajuwon. You are correct. Thank you, Armando.
I knew it.
I was positive.
Hakeem the Dream.
I've never been more sure. I wrote it down with a piece of paper. Never been more sure.
Who's our next contestant?
I'm so proud of myself to just tell you. Amanda in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome, hey, Amanda.
Welcome to...
My name is...
You want a current player or an all-time great?
Let's do current.
All right, I'm going to give you Boogie. The player's nickname is Boogie.
Ooh.
Boogie.
Boogie. Did you say the name I want to say is not right, but...
Well, take a guess. You can't hurt to try.
Glenn Davis?
I'm sorry, that's a terrible guess.
It's Bill Simmons' favorite player.
That doesn't help.
Okay.
DeMarcus Cousins is who Boogie is. But thank you for playing. All right, we're 0 for 2, but let's move on.
All right, let's go to Mike in Garden Grove. Hi there.
Hey, what'd it do?
I'm 0 for 2 as well, by the way.
All right, Mike, you want a current player or you want one of the all-time greats?
Let's do all-time great.
All right, I'm going to give you The Worm. The Worm.
The Worm? Go with Karl Malone.
He's nope. The mailman!
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman is correct, yeah. Kevin. You're on the board.
I'm on the board. Do I get to win?
0 for 3 so far, man.
Let's go to Frank in Azusa. Hi, Frank.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Frank, we're hoping you're a basketball fan. We'd like to get somebody in this drawing for the Clippers tickets.
Yeah, give me whoever you got. I don't care.
Wow.
Whoa, combo. Bold.
All right, here's a man who knows. All right, how about Swaggy P? Swaggy
That's
P.
Nick Young.
It is Nick
Young.
Yes,
it is.
The Lakers, but it's Nick Young.
Okay, well done,
take it easy.
You're in the drawing. Talking a lot of smack for a guy who's one step closer to winning, isn't he?
Paul in West Covina, hi.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Paul. What menu you want to draw from here?
Give me either or.
All right. Oof. Doesn't care.
All right. I'll give you this one then. Who is the big fundamental? The big fundamental.
That was Patrick Ewing.
I'm sorry, no. Kevin, you know this one?
Yeah, it's the guy that forward for the San Antonio Spurs.
That is correct. Tim Duncan.
Tim Duncan.
You were looking for there. Yeah. All right, thank you for playing anyway.
The most dull player in the NBA in history.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Mo in Oxnard. Hey, Mo.
Let me go with, what's up, guys?
Hi.
Then we got one of the original old school players.
Right. You want an old school player. Okay. The player's nickname was Doc. Doc.
Oh, man. It wasn't Scottie Pippen?
It was not Scottie Pippen. You are correct.
It's, all right.
No.
Well, I know Clyde Drexler's name. He was Clyde.
No, wrong. Right. I said he is correct that it wasn't Scottie Pippen.
Oh, okay.
Pay attention, you guys.
Doc, like Dr. J?
It's Doc Rivers, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn Rivers. His nickname was Doc, and now, of course, he is the coach of the Clippers. That's what we were looking for there.
Oh.
All right. We got time for one more.
What's happening?
Angry Bean just came out. Pay attention. Matthew in Whittier, hi.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Welcome to...
My name is...
You want a current player or a classic player?
Let me get a current player.
All right. Your current player is... here we go. Your current player is the Panda's friend. The Panda's friend.
What the...
That can't be real.
The Panda's friend.
Yes.
I have no idea.
No guess even?
I don't know either.
I'll make a guess. Maybe, is it an Asian player?
It is not an Asian player.
Oh.
Meta World Peace?
It is Meta World Peace. You're absolutely correct, Kevin.
Chip knew that one.
I'm sorry, Matthew did not get it. So only Frank is in the drawing. Before we select, let's find out what he's going to be winning. A pair of tickets to the LA Clippers home opener versus the Jazz this Sunday at Staples Center and qualifying with a great prize, the best NBA experience of your life, November 9th when the Portland Trail Blazers come to town. Who's our winner, please, Emily McKay?
The winner is Frank.
Frank!
No kidding!
Yeah, Clipper Nation.
Thanks. Congratulations and thanks for playing the game.
My name is
Jim Rome on the program later on today. Also, Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit. And next hour, we're going to be looking for you to share your best Irvine Meadows memories. It's been a lot of people's favorite concert venue over the past few decades, and it's going away after this weekend. So that's coming up here on K-Rock 2.
First, it's time for a new feature called...
So That Happened.
So That Happened. There's a lot of weird stories in the news that where the reality is just much worse than fiction. And this is one of them. Wife wins $1 million trying to show husband lottery tickets are a waste of money. Here's the story.
A woman in North Carolina wanted to teach her husband a lesson about wasting money, but it backfired in the best way imaginable. 57-year-old Glenda Blackwell's husband, Buddy, asked her to buy two Powerball tickets this weekend. She said she wanted to make a point that the tickets were a waste of money.
Just buy Buddy a couple of tickets.
Right? What's your problem,
Buddy?
Lee?
Just wants some tickets.
Come on.
Buy him some. You don't need to teach him a lesson in your 50s. He wants a lottery ticket. Buy it. What's wrong with you? Come on. Buddy deserves it.
Glenda bought a $10 scratch-off ticket instead at this store, not expecting it to win. But lo and behold, it did. The ticket was a $1 million winner.
I think she was pissed.
So that happened.
A $1 million winner.
Now, they were husband and wife?
Yes.
Oh, so it's not like she can just say, well, sorry, didn't win.
Well, I don't know. The next part of the story describes who's doing what with the money.
Blackwell opted for the lump sum of $415,503 after taxes. She says she plans to buy a home with that money and set up college funds for her two granddaughters. The couple says after this, they won't be buying as many lottery tickets in the future.
I feel like Buddy doesn't have a lot of say.
Buddy
in
has no say in anything. Sounds she's like buying a house. She's setting up college funds.
Buddy.
Hey, Buddy's the one that wanted the ticket, right? How does that work if I ask somebody to buy me a lottery ticket?
Uh-huh.
That's my money, right?
It is your money.
It is.
So that's Buddy's.
Unless he didn't give her the money to buy the ticket and she paid for it with her own funds,
but
maybe that's the angle.
If they have a mixed account, still his.
Yeah. And let me also ask you guys this. If you buy a $10 scratcher and win $1 million, would you be likely to never play the lottery again? Or would you think, I can win.
Of course.
Yeah. I should play again.
I'm going to play it more. See, I told you we won $1 million. Now let's stop. That doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't make sense, right.
So that happened.
All right,
that did happen.
Here's story number two. A stranger's heartbreaking note found on car teaches driver a very harsh parking lesson. Oh, how many times have you gone into a parking lot and you've seen a car that's like taken up two spots, crooked so that you can't get in next to it, and you get super frustrated?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
This happened, and this is the note that was left on the car. To whoever owns this car, my grandfather smoked his whole life. I was about 10 years old when my mother said to him, if you want to see your grandchildren graduate, you need to stop immediately. Tears welled up in his eyes when he realized exactly what was at stake. Again, this is a note that was left on a car that was parked poorly.
Okay.
Tears were in his eyes. Mm-hmm. He quit cold turkey that very day. 3 years later, he died of lung cancer. We were very close, and his death destroyed me. My mother said to me, please never smoke. Don't put your family through that, through what your grandfather put you through. I've never touched a cigarette. I must say, I feel a very slight sense of regret as to never having done it, because your parking job was so effing bad, it gave me cancer anyway.
Oh, my.
Jesus Christ, please learn to park.
That took a turn.
How great is that note?
Did not see that coming.
So that happened.
And finally, how great is that? He's got a whole backstory. His grandfather when he was 10.
And you know the person who peeled that note off of his car windshield is like, what is this going to get around to having anything to do with my parking?
Oh, my God.
Your parking gave me cancer anyway.
I love it.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
And finally, here's the headline. We always do this. We always play this game. Would you click on this story? I assume all of you would. Semi-naked man found dead on Spanish airport bench with deli meat in his buttocks. And his genitals in a tuna can.
Well, I think you need more information on that. You got to click on that.
Police in Spain are investigating the bizarre death of a British man who was found semi-naked, bound to a bench outside of the airport, with sandwich meat placed on his body and his genitals in an open tuna can.
What?
That's my question. How did that... I mean, you know how sometimes, like, gangs leave a calling card of how they kill people?
Mm-hmm. Somebody, like an ace of spades on the body or something?
Yes, somebody using, like, deli meat?
Well, I
hope not. Message? It's ridiculous. According to the BBC, the guy's 51 years old. He was found Friday bound to a bench outside of the Malaga airport. The British broadcaster reported the man's body was found with his hands tied behind his back.
Wow.
He'd been stripped of his clothing from the waist down.
No.
There's no way to live a life, you guys.
It's no way to end it. The Metro UK reported the victim was found with deli meat placed on each of his buttocks. Now, why would that happen?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Maybe he had a beef with the butcher, and he's like, I'm leaving my mark. No?
Okay, that's one theory.
Thank you.
That's as good a theory as any. The guy had deli meat on his butt.
I mean, if drunk guys come along and they find a corpse on a park bench, I don't know how it ever occurs to them that deli meat is the play.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you prop them up or you put them in a funny position or, you know, do something, but I can't imagine why that works.
He's the cold cut killer. That's what this guy is. But then he didn't stop with that. His genitals were placed in an open can of tuna.
Oh, dear.
What's happening here? There were no obvious signs of violence on his body, but the position he was found in suggested foul play.
Oh, really? Did it hurt? None of that occurred naturally?
They are on the case.
He didn't kill himself and then put ham on his ass? That's not what happened. I'll tell you what's happening.
So that happened.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
It's a great idea, by the way, from a listener weighing in on a conversation we had yesterday about the King of Mexico having trouble finding a Halloween costume.
Right.
Because, you know, Dave's super lazy. He doesn't want to put any effort into it.
Right.
Good morning. Here's the perfect costume for Dave. Number one, dress up as himself in his normal everyday clothes. Number two, then wear a My Name Is sticker on his chest. And right in, number three, Silver Lake hipster. Done.
Boom.
Right? That's a costume for Dave.
Because
I'm just rad.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, a lot of stuff still coming up, including Jim Rome, Dr. Drew on the program, but we have time for your phone calls, too. It's Kevin Bean's What's Good. This is where you can call us on any topic, anything that's on your mind, that's going on. You got comments, you got questions, you got problems, you got proposals. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up right after Allie takes another look at the showbiz beat.
Hey, Jim Gaffigan, who we all know, we all love, he is heading to Fargo.
Oh.
Yes.
All right.
He will be part of FX's series Fargo for their upcoming third season. He's going to play police deputy Donnie Mashman, who works at the Eden Valley PD. Now, do you guys know what season 3 of Fargo is about?
I don't.
Would you like me to tell you?
Sure.
Great. It focuses on a pair of look-alike brothers, both played by Ewan McGregor. The older of the two, Emmett, is a good-looking, self-assured real estate mogul known as the Parking Lot King of Minnesota. His younger sibling, Ray, is a flabby parole officer who blames Emmett for his sorry state of affairs. I don't know if this is an Onion article or if that's real, but that sounds amazing.
Fargo could pull anything off.
Right?
They can, and they've done such a great job with casting you wouldn't have ordinarily expected. You know, like Ted Danson and Kirsten Dunst and people like that who have just been, everybody who's been on that show has just been great.
Amazing. I cannot wait for this.
I know how you feel about Jim Gaffigan.
Well, I love me some Jim Gaffigan. Premiering spring 2017, so not that far away, really.
A spring 2017, okay.
Yeah, so next spring.
Okay.
Okay. We good?
Sure.
Excellent. Ralph had told us a couple weeks ago about Robin Williams' kids. They were going to be auctioning off a bunch of his bicycles because he was a huge, avid cyclist. So they were going to auction off 87 of his high-end bicycles, some custom-made. And the auction drew bids from 25 countries and raised more than $600,000.
Wow.
Isn't that incredible? And just one of his bikes, I guess it's an amazing custom bike, somebody paid more than $40,000 for. That's amazing stuff. So all the money raised is going to the Challenged Athletes Foundation and the Reeve Foundation, two of Robin's favorites. Did you guys know that him and Christopher Reeve met in 1973 at Juilliard?
Did not know that.
And they were just little boys, essentially, and they were best friends up until the end. So. That's amazing. $600,000. Very impressive. You guys, this pleases me. We love David Cross.
Yes.
We love his wife, Amber Tamblyn.
Yes.
Very much.
Now we can love the baby that is inside of her. Yay!
All right.
She is expecting a baby girl. So she announced that in an op-ed piece for Glamour magazine. So very exciting
that
news.
That is exciting.
I like when really smart, clever people get together and then make a baby. I've said that for years. I actually
I've never heard you
say that. You know, I have a blog. It says, I love really smart, clever people that get together and have a baby. It's and a long title.
Can grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
Nope. I don't know why you would say that.
I feel like that's not that's where I was not. Going Mm-mm. at all with that there. We had told you a while ago about a unlikely couple, Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg, teaming up for a new reality series on VH1 that's entitled Martha and Snoop's Potluck Dinner Party. Get it? Because pot.
Yeah.
And potluck is also
yeah.
bring food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yesterday, VH1 announced the show in which each episode will feature the pair hosting a series of celebrity dinner parties. It's going to premiere on Monday, November the 7th. Want to hear some of the guests?
Sure.
Invited to said dinner parties? We've got Seth Rogen.
Okay.
Wiz Khalifa. Rick Ross. 50 Cent. Ashley Graham. Robin Thicke. Bella Thorne. Ice Cube.
Wow.
Kathy Griffin. Chris Bosh. DJ Khaled.
Wow.
Right?
Those are dinner parties.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's crazy good guess.
I would not hate going to that dinner party.
Where would we be without the Snoop Man?
That's a good question.
It's a great question.
But Snoop Dogg's in the house.
We don't have to ask that because we know where we'll be Monday, November 7th, watching VH1 Martha and Snoop's Potluck Dinner Party.
Church. Preach. Tabernacle.
Yeah. So that's happening. The BBC has announced the premiere for the next season of Sherlock.
Oh.
Right.
So excited.
Right.
This is so good.
Deadline reports season 4 will once again consist of 3 episodes, the first of which is entitled The Six Thatches. You ready for when it's going to premiere?
Sure.
New Year's
Next
Day
month?
2017. What?
New Year's Day 2017 is
yeah.
in a couple months. That's
yeah.
not terrible.
Are you ready?
Yeah. I love that show.
Yeah, you do.
It's one of the best shows ever made.
Which I don't mean to find weird that you love it.
I know, I'm dumb. I shouldn't like it.
But you love this show.
I
you
love
talk
it.
About it all the time
it's
here.
It's really great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yep.
Okay.
Martin Freeman.
Martin Freeman as well.
Amanda
Martin
Addington.
Freeman. Yep.
So
good.
How's Addington? I don't know. Who is it?
Amanda Addington.
Amanda Addington.
My number one TV crush
His
of all time.
Number one TV crush of all time.
Right, of course. We all know
so.
That.
So... We love that.
Mm-hmm.
Some birthdays today. Only 2. Actor John Cleese is 77. And Duran Duran, singer Simon Le Bon, 58 today. And let me say, he looks great.
Okay. Who's listening, guys? Kevin?
I can't even understand what you're saying.
Eugene? Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Right?
I don't either,
Same.
Rodney.
What's happening?
I'm Ellie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ellie. Time for your phone calls next, 1-800-520-1067. If you've got TV shows you'd like to recommend, if there's stories in the news we're not talking about, you could call on that. If you have complaints, I don't know. Do we want complaints?
Why not? No.
Whatever you'd like to talk about, 1-800-520-1067. That is the number you call now. We'll put you on the air next.
Hey, why not be on the show at 1-800-520-1067 with calls on any topic. It's time for Kevin Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
A good batch of callers here on the line right now. Let's get through as many as we can, and we'll start on line 2 with George in Downey to get us going here.
Hey, George.
How you doing?
Welcome What's to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's good, sir?
Yeah, might as well call it What's Not Good, because they killed off Glenn from The Walking Dead.
Spoiler alert, they killed
yes,
Glenn.
They mm-hmm. they did do that.
On The Walking Dead.
You are dissatisfied
you
with that decision?
Asians?
What's that? What's that, George?
Why you gotta do that to Asians?
Wow. I'm pretty sure it didn't have anything to do with his race.
My only hero, and they killed him off. I don't know who to root for anymore.
I don't know who to root for anymore. What about the rest of the team?
Oh, can you only root for Asians? Is that the problem here?
What about Rick? Well, what about Michonne?
Well,
Rosita?
I'm just saying, you know.
Especially Rosita.
Yeah.
I had a special thing in my heart for Glenn, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Not much we can do for you then.
Look, I was bummed too, but mm-hmm. I sort of felt like we got ripped off when he was under the dumpster and everybody was surrounding him.
He should have died then.
He should have died then. And it sort of felt like The Walking Dead maybe took a step back then.
Mm-hmm. And I'll also say this. You want the stakes to remain high.
Agreed.
It's more believable in the universe that The Walking Dead characters inhabit if there's a risk of them being killed at any time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unusual on this show to see somebody killed by another person and not by a zombie. That's for sure. Let's go to line five, please. It's going to be Sandra. She's in L.A. I think she's registering a complaint.
Okay.
Hey, Sandra.
Hi. Hi, Allie McKay, I love you, but I die a little bit inside every time I hear you say the word birthday. I'm sorry. I love you, girl.
Wait, it's interesting because Casey, who puts her finger on the button here on the show, also thinks that I say birthday. I do not say birthday.
I've never heard you say birthday.
I swear, I hear it, and I'm like, Beans, how are you not dying right now, Beans? How are you not dying?
I haven't.
It would kill
Beans.
If he heard it, it would kill him.
Yes.
I haven't noticed it either.
I will say this, Sandra. It would kill me if I was saying it, because
you've been saying it for a long time, apparently.
To Sandra and Casey, may I suggest a little Q-tip? Just go right around the air.
May I suggest... Maybe pause on the TH a little more.
I'm going to enunciate it because when people say things like Valentine's Day, I want to stab people. So if I am doing that to you, Sandra, I apologize and I will over enunciate.
Oh, thank you so much.
And thank you.
And don't stab her. Thank you, Sandra, for the call. We appreciate it.
By the way, there's birthday, there's birthday, and then there's birthday, which is my favorite.
Birthday. It's my candle blowing birthday.
Come on, sure. Birthday is the way to go, right? All right. Let's try, why don't we try Susie in Anaheim? We got a little feel-good story on line six right now.
Hey, Susie.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Hi.
Well, I just wanted to share that I recently was officially sworn in as a U.S. citizen.
All right.
Congratulations.
Check you out.
Thank you. I'm super excited. It was probably one of the most important times of my life.
What was your journey? What's your story?
So I was born in Mexico, and I came here when I was two. I became a permanent resident, but with this election and how it's been going, I figured I'd rather just become a citizen so that literally nobody can boot me out.
Just in case.
Just in case, right.
Now, you're
over, on the right side of the wall.
You're over 18, so you can vote?
Yes.
What a crazy first election to vote in.
Right?
It's the first time she's ever been able to vote, and it's the craziest election that we've ever had.
Exactly. It is so crazy.
Wow.
I'm super excited, but, like, I'm hoping and praying that, like, my one little vote and, like, the other 4,000 people that had their ceremony the same day as mine will be able to change the outcome of this terrific.
Well, that won't happen. But I do want to ask you this, Susie. Could you have applied for citizenship when you were 5 or when you were 10 or when you were 15 or something and you just didn't?
No. Every case is different. So I came here on a visa legally, and then I just stayed here a little bit longer than I should have.
Mm.
So... you have to go through a certain process, depending on how you got here and your circumstance. Once you're made a resident, some people are not even allowed to leave, you know, the United States.
I see. Okay.
So it's more complicated than it seems, in other words, to become
a
citizen. Well, congratulations, and now you're an American, and we're happy to have you. So thank you for listening, and thank you for calling, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Susie.
Let's do one more. Let's make it Lisa in Irvine. She's line 7. She has a complaint, not from anything we're doing, but something that the world is doing.
Hey, Lisa.
Good morning.
Hi. What's good?
Hi.
In this case, what's bad?
What happened to common courtesy? I'm so tired of people in stores bumping into me or walking in front of me and not saying excuse me. It just seems so wrong, and everybody's doing it, and I refuse to forget my manners. Why can't everybody else just be...
Now, are you the type of person who, when somebody bumps into you... and they don't say, excuse me, you go, excuse you.
No, I'm not that enough.
You're not that bad.
Not usually.
I don't know. I mean, I think that most people, tell me if I'm wrong about this, this is a gross exaggeration. It's very possible that it is. But I think that most people, many people, I'll say, look at other people as just being impediments in the world.
People are out there doing their own thing, and anybody else who's getting in their way, just screw them.
But that's a terrible attitude, because we're all here, and we all have our own mission, and we just need to be nice to each other and get along while we're doing it.
And you need to say, excuse me.
Right?
Yes.
Allie,
actor once said.
What would your advice be for Lisa? What should she do in that situation if somebody bumps into her and just keeps on moving?
I'd say, oh, you probably don't realize you bumped into me, but it's okay. Have a great day.
Nope.
No?
You know what's funny is the one person who did it to me the worst was Sting at the NAMM show once.
Really?
Yes. He bumped into me shoulder to shoulder hard in a great big wide hallway and didn't even say anything. And there was nobody else in the hall. It was completely empty. It was weird.
Yeah, no, but it was Sting.
Sting gets a pass. I mean, he wrote Roxanne. What did you do?
Yeah. That's a good point. Thank you.
Speaking of No Doubt, I was going to go see Gwen Stefani this weekend in Irvine Meadows, but I think I'll just wait till the next time she plays there. What do you guys think?
See, because they're closing Irvine Meadows.
What?
Yeah.
Was this in the news?
This is the last two shows will be Gwen Stefani, Saturday, Sunday.
Irvine Meadows has been open since 1981, you guys, and it's got to be close to my favorite venue in Southern California for shows.
Love it.
Yeah.
There's no place like it. It's so beautiful. And I don't know. It's just got it's always had a great vibe. And they've welcomed everybody from Frank Sinatra to Michael Jackson to the Grateful Dead to Ozzy Osbourne, Chuck Berry, Joni Mitchell, all the K-Rock Weenie Roasts that have been there over the years. I mean, it is a legendary concert venue. And they're tearing it down for what? Building condos or something, right?
Yep. Need some apartments. Yes,
people,
they do.
People do need a place to live, I guess. But
why does it have to be at Irvine Meadows?
Right.
It's been such a big part of our lives here at K-Rock, doing that weenie roast all these years. What, 25 years or 26 years, whatever it's been, we've been down there at the for the weenie roast show, that we're really, really going to miss it.
Yeah, there's been so many different things. And we're going to take your calls of your best Irvine Meadows memories. And we're going to start out with one of mine, which is Oingo Boingo used to play down there every Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. And everybody would dress up, and it was, just became a thing. Every year it happened, and it was so good. And Bean and I started doing, I don't even know where this idea came from, but we would find the biggest pumpkin in the United States, and we would buy it and have them send it to us. And then, for some reason, we would try to toss this pumpkin as far as it would go.
Huh.
Now, how did we come up with that idea in the first place? I don't know. It's a stupid thing to do.
It is. It's a very dumb thing to
do. But I think it was the last year we got the USC School of Architecture involved because we had a 600-pound pumpkin.
Oh, my God.
Right. So how do you throw a 600-pound pumpkin? So they built this huge contraption with a long arm and
a catapult.
And a catapult, yeah. And a net that held this 600-pound pumpkin. And on the other side is the counterbalance was a van, a full-size van filled with cement.
This is not going to end well.
Right? So they release it. The van goes down and the pumpkin just goes flying.
Right.
So we guessed how far the pumpkin would go.
Uh-huh.
And we put a chair right there.
Okay.
And we put our former producer Lightning in it.
Oh,
and we said,
no.
Lightning, sit in this chair. This is going to be funny.
Oh, no.
And then I started, I think it was duct tape. I started duct taping his feet to the chair and his hands behind his back because I figured that that would even make it more funny.
Right.
Right.
How dramatic.
And one of the engineers at the time came up to me and said, you can't do that. This is too dangerous. And
that
I'm
was
like,
Scott Mason. That was our old friend Scott Mason.
Right.
Yep.
And I was like, don't be ridiculous. What are the chances that it's going to hit this, 2 feet by 2 feet?
And it was a huge, huge parking lot. And we didn't know if the pumpkin was going to go 30 feet or 400 feet. But the chances that it was going to hit that spot were next to none.
And I was outraged. I don't know that I've ever been more angry in my whole life.
Why are you trying to take all the fun out of everything we do, Scott?
You're so stupid. What do you think the chances are it's going to hit? This is so dumb. And he wouldn't let me do it. So I went out and I, took the tape off and I was all pissy and we all were angry and it just sort of ruined everything. And then we threw the pumpkin and I swear to God, we didn't move the chair. The pumpkin demolished the chair. Not into pieces, into dust.
Oh. Into dust, yeah.
It demolished it.
Oh, wow.
So I should probably be in jail right now.
For sure.
And Lightning should be dead.
Correct.
Right?
Oh, man.
But that happened.
That was great time. Hey, let's talk to Christina real quick. Line four, she's in Hawthorne. We're talking about your favorite memories of the soon-to-be late, great Irvine Meadows. Christina, welcome to the show.
Hey, you guys.
Hi.
So I was 16, and my best friend and I went to go see Green Day. My mom took us. She dropped us off, and her and her friend went to the Spectrum, to, like, Starbucks, waiting for us to finish.
Right.
And it's, like, our first concert ever. And we're definitely not in the pit. In the middle of Green Day said, they scream to everyone and say, we want everyone to run to the pit right now. And we left all of our stuff up there, like, nobody. And we left all of our stuff, and we ran. We're, like, so amazed. All the security guards are letting us go. And we get to the pit, and we're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And I want more, so I, like, climb up on the sides, and I promptly fall the other way into a bush. And
that's a great first concert experience, isn't it?
It was amazing.
Your mom is like, you fell in a bush?
Yeah, she's like, why do you have scrapes? And, like, you know, we're Armenian, so she's like, why do you have scrapes? I told you this is dangerous. And she's all, like, mad and stuff.
Who's this Green Day? And why are they so bad?
Right.
That's awesome. Sweaty. Thank you, Christina, for the call. We appreciate it.
Let's go to El Monte, line 8, please. This is going to be Raul joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Raul.
Hey, guys. So one of the most memorable moments I had was one of the best moments followed by one of the worst moments ever.
No, that's the best. I love it.
So the most memorable thing was Metallica headlining the Weenie Roast.
How great was that?
They did a quadruple encore, which is unheard of for them.
Yep.
I mean, it was absolutely amazing, followed by the Fear right afterwards.
Oh no.
The Fear as you're trying to... As you're trying to leave Irvine, you get the Fear?
Well, I started getting the Fear towards the middle of their third encore, but I couldn't go anywhere because I was enjoying the show. So, you know, it got pretty bad towards the end.
Wow. Yeah. I don't think I want to hear the thrilling conclusion of this story.
We know
all
the conclusion of this story because the Fear is when you can't help yourself.
You can't stop, right?
Thank you for
times
the call.
Right there. Let's do one more before the break. Make it Manny, line 5, please. He's in Northridge. This is another thing that I remember fondly as well.
Hey, Manny.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
Hi there. Irvine Meadows, what comes to mind when you realize it's closing down this weekend?
Yeah, Irvine Meadows, early 2000s, 311 was playing one of the Weenie Roasts, and then out of nowhere, this helicopter starts circling the venue.
Yep.
A few moments later, 311 comes out, and Shaq, 7-foot, 300-pound center for the Laker, comes out, and just stage dope.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal, awesome. Shaquille O'Neal came by helicopter.
That was
it was pretty cool. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Manny. All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We will continue in a second.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Cindy writes in, I went to see the Grateful Dead at Irvine Meadows, and that's the night I took LSD for the first and only time in my life. I had gone with my boyfriend. At some point, he left me and ran off with his ex-girlfriend, and I spent most of the evening hiding in my car, looking at the bonfires everywhere. Trees never looked the same again after that LSD trip. Boy, that's a weird experience, right?
No kidding.
Oof. Talking about your memories of Irvine Meadows at 1-800-520-1067. Before we go back to the calls, Kevin, why do you take such delight in what happened to my poor wife at Irvine Meadows that time?
Well, I mean, how often does something like that happen?
Fortunately, not very often.
Right, and not only that, but she's a trooper. She didn't care.
We had Kiss one year. In fact, it was a pretty big deal because Kiss, for a number of years, did not wear the makeup. And then they decided to get the original band back together and start going out on a tour, which has never ended, by the way. They're still out there playing with all the members of the band in makeup. Mm-hmm. So their first show back together ahead of their tour kicking off in Detroit was at the K-Rock Weenie Roast. So they were headlining the Weenie Roast. And it was a pretty big deal having Kiss there. And I was excited as a Kiss fan my whole life. Until Gene Simmons started spitting fire like he do, and the sparks from that fire went right out into the audience, landed on my wife's head, and caught her hair on fire.
How often does something like that happen?
Never, thank God.
And it was Dean's wife.
And the person behind her, and we were, I don't know, 5 or 6 rows back or something like that, the person behind her just out of the blue started beating her in the head to knock the fire out.
Oh,
and at
God.
First, you're like, hey, dude, what the F? Oh, I see what's happening here. So that's an Irvine memory that I don't think I'll ever forget.
But didn't she stay and watch the rest of the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she
See?
Did.
See? Look, that's a baller right there.
What's a little burnt hair?
My hair caught on fire. I'm still here. That's why I like that story.
Speaking of fires, let's go to line six, please, in Orange. Let's talk to Ryan. I knew somebody would bring up the many fires that seem to start at the Weenie Roast every year.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on, Allie?
Hey.
Irvine Meadows.
So, I think my favorite memory of Irvine Meadows is like 2002, I think it was, at the Weenie Roast. System of a Down was headlining, and I was up on the lawn, and we literally burned that mother down. I mean, it was insane.
If I recall correctly, there was way more than just one fire, too, right? There was a bunch.
Yes. It was probably, I'm just trying to remember, but it was probably like six or seven. I mean, there was a ton of them. And people were just burning trash. I saw someone, like, throw their sweater in the fire. It was crazy.
I never liked that sweater.
It doesn't take much for it to get out of control once somebody starts a fire.
Yeah, it's good times.
I was like 14 years old at the time, and it was like one of the first concerts I'd ever been to.
Then you were thinking, this is awesome.
Yeah,
System
right?
of a Down, fire, everything's good.
Unfortunately, future concerts have not lived up to that, but it was pretty good.
I think that's on you to start more fires. Is that what we're saying?
Maybe outside venues, sure.
Okay, thank you, Ryan. Let's go to line five, El Monte. This is going to be Bridget. She had a fun celebrity encounter at Irvine Meadows.
Hey, Bridget.
Hey. So my brother-in-law told us that you can sneak in at Irvine Meadows through the river bend.
Yeah, did you jump the fence?
Yeah, jump the fence, exactly.
Yep.
So we wanted to go to Reno Roast and watch Foo Fighters. So me and my best friend hiked for 4 hours and couldn't get in. So we went back to the parking lot and we were going to give up. And some two guys were coming out and they said, do you want tickets? And we're like, of course. We just hiked 4 hours. We want to get in. So they gave us wristbands. So we get in, we get backstage. We meet Foo Fighters, Dave Grohl, and we get in the pit. It's the best night ever in my life.
Holy cow.
You win.
Wow, you win.
You do win. Wow.
That's crazy.
Unforgettable. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Adrian Santa Ana, line four up next. He also met with a celebrity there.
All right. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. I used to work at the summer camp between Wild Rivers and Irvine Meadows, and for years we would sneak in too, but one day they're like, hey, clear your sports field. We're like, okay, we're packing for a road trip to Mexico with the staff, and this helicopter lands on our sports field. We're like, who the hell is that? And Tommy Lee comes out, and it's Tommy Lee when he still loved to take pictures and sign autographs and everything, and he was really cool, and we walked with him all the way to the security gate drinking beer. It was awesome. He even talked to us for about 20 minutes while he waited for his golf cart. It was by far one of my coolest.
What a weird memory that is.
No kidding. And by the way, if you really want to update that memory, next time you see Tommy Lee, ask him to take you out on the boat.
Absolutely.
That's where it happens.
I mean,
right?
Right.
All right. Let's try Robert. Rancho Cucamonga, please. Line 8, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
So my biggest fond memory from the Weenie Roast, I believe it was back in 2000 or 2001, last time Green Day played Weenie Roast. We had booked reservations over at the Marriott in Irvine, and little did we know that a bunch of the artists were staying there. So we ended up checking in and everything, and when we came out to start heading out to the Weenie Roast about 12:30 p.m., we walked out front, and standing there was Billy from Green Day. So as we approached to the valet, he had hit us up. We had asked him, hey, man, you're going to rock it tonight? He's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, hey, do you guys have a car here? And we're like, yeah, we have a car here. And he's all, well, you know, could you do me a favor? Can you take me down to the store? I need to get some stuff.
What?
And we're like, yeah.
Why does Billy Joe Armstrong not have somebody to take him?
I have no idea. But we're like, yeah, yeah, we can do that. Valet's like, dude, that's Billy from Green Day. And we're like, yeah, wow, we know. So we ended up taking him down to the Spectrum where the Target is, and he's looking for Murray's wax for his hair, I guess. He used that stuff for his hair.
Right.
So we go in there. The first store doesn't have it. Then we go into, I think it was a Save on Drugs. They had that. And then we walk out, and there's like three people that recognize him. We're just like acting like part of his entourage. So he gives a couple of autographs there. We walk out. He's like, hey, dude. He goes, I'm starved. Do you mind if we go to Einstein right across the way? And I'm like, no, let's do this.
I'm sorry.
You didn't hang
I'm sorry, it happens.
That
I don't.
Was interminable.
It's automatic.
That was punishing.
But maybe say, hey, speed it up.
I didn't have any control over it.
That was painful.
It's automatic.
You guys are evil.
Do you guys remember when Slayer was playing down there and we did heavy metal parking lot?
Was this Psycho Mike we sent down there to interview people?
It was Psycho Mike and I.
Oh, you were there too.
Yeah, and that's when I was in the pit and I got demolished. A. But B, before the show, we were talking to people and we met this guy.
Yeah! Everybody! You! Eat suck your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Die, die, die! Your mom! Yeah!
He sounds nice.
You want to take him home to your parents?
No!
He's the best. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
That's Halloween-y, Kevin, but it doesn't get you off the hook for two eyeballs. You still owe us some two eyeballs, even though you're giving us the devil inside.
I'm buying two eyeballs. I just wish you could understand the lyrics.
Hey, Jim Rome joins us just after the top of the hour with sports, like he do on Thursdays. In the meantime, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ali.
Hey, you guys, I want to give something away. A pair of three-day passes to Stan Lee's L.A. Comic-Con. It's Yes, kids. This weekend at the L.A. Convention Center, you're going to see stars from The Flash, Batman, and more, including Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance. He's going to be down there doing a panel for his new comic book. Tickets are still available at StanLeesLAComicCon.com. But right now, callers 10 through 15, five callers are going to win a pair of three-day passes to, again, Stan Lee's Comic-Con at the L.A. Convention Center.
Callers 10 through 14.
10 through 14.
Right, is what you
I
meant
just
to
say. Wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Right.
Five callers will win. 10
They're
through
all dead now.
14.
Right.
Dorothy, you've got to help me out with math, because damn. Callers 10 through 14.
Right.
Wow, Kevin.
Yep.
Good
That
catch.
Happened. Thank you.
I'm just glad it's Friday. Who's with me?
It's a rigged system.
It is the way that I do it. Hey, you guys, Variety has stumbled upon some leaked footage of an alternate ending to the season premiere of The Walking Dead. Now, there are all those stories floating around that they shot alternate endings to keep people kind of off track of who would be killed
right.
in the season premiere. And spoiler alert, if you're listening right now and haven't...
Wait, why are you laughing?
Chip caught it. I said spoiler alert.
Oh, I see.
It's tough today, you guys.
Tough
I don't know.
Words?
If you weren't one of the 17 million that was watching and you don't know who died, tune out right now. But Glenn and Abraham both died.
Gave him a lot of time to tune out. That was good.
Thank you.
Tune out, Glenn.
But this alternate murder that took place, Maggie.
Oh.
Yes.
See,
that would have hurt. That would have hurt
more. Easily.
Right?
And I love Glenn, but that would have hurt more.
Right.
Yeah.
I also read a very interesting article. Michael Cudlitz, of course, who played Abraham. They filmed just before Thanksgiving of last year. So he's basically been sitting on this for over a year. However, he had to keep up appearances, obviously. So he's had to keep getting his hair dyed, had to keep that mustache, the handlebars, everything, keep dyeing that. But
for a year?
Yes, but the hardest thing for him was he's been in L.A. He hasn't been shooting in Atlanta because he's dead. So he has been going to his hairdresser here locally. And finally, after a few times, the hairdresser was like,
why don't you change this up?
No, what? No, the hairdresser thinks he's still doing the show.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So said, aren't they doing this on set anymore? And he had to come up with quickly, no, I get to stay an extra day with my family if I get it done here. So that kind of got that hairdresser off his track with that. But then going to his gym, somebody at the gym was like, you've been here now for 2 weeks. What's going on? And he's like, oh, I'm leaving tomorrow. Every single time he'd have to come up with a new story. So then he'd have to go to another gym.
He had to change gyms every time somebody...
And then he'd come back to that gym. Like, he had to put up with so much.
That's a weird life of going in hiding so people don't know who dies on The Walking Dead.
That is crazy, right?
No.
Michael Cudlitz.
He's the best.
He's the best ever. Love him so much. Are you guys fans of the Gerard Butler movies, Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen?
I am.
The Fallen movies, if you will. Well, it's going to be three in a row.
What's
a third
falling?
Movie is going to be Angel Has Fallen.
What's Angel?
Well, thanks for asking, Kevin. In this sequel, the president's plane, Air Force One, codename Angel.
Ah.
Yeah, so you've got to figure, okay, maybe the plane is hijacked, something like that. Gerard Butler, I mean, he saves the day,
like
right?
Like he does.
Yeah. So that will be coming out, you know, after they shoot it.
Okay.
No information
that's
on
some good
there
info on
as
that one.
I look.
You must see that movie.
Right.
You do,
that
absolutely.
Really something. I mean, it's.
You've seen it?
The sceneries and the sets and the camera angles.
You've seen
everything
it?
Everything is just amazing.
They haven't even shot it yet.
They haven't.
You can get that on Hulu or.
Nope.
Nope.
Or just find it on DVD or something.
I don't think so. Not yet. They haven't even shot it, Rodney.
You can find it.
You can't find it.
Mm-mm. Maybe he's thinking of, like, the TV show Angel?
Maybe. Yeah, he
Maybe.
Sounds confused.
Yeah, that's real sad. Bean, you want to go to Austria?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, doesn't everyone?
I think most people do, but I would go specifically for this. It is the Nova Rock Festival. They have just released their lineup. It is June 14th through 17th. Listen to these names. Green Day, Blink 182, Linkin Park, System of a Down.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Right? Also on the bill.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy?
No, but that would be fun.
It would be.
Prophets of Rage.
Wow.
Rancid. Hatebreed. What? And even David Hasselhoff. I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I don't care. I want to go and see this show. Nova Rock Festival.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
He does. And he will be in good company. So just want to let you know that if you're looking for a summer trip.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Head on out to Austria. All of these stars were born today. They're celebrating their birthday.
Do you want to hear a clip of you saying birthday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, here's some birthdays for you guys. Tom Kavanaugh is 53. Do it again. Right. All of these people are celebrating birthday today. President
that
is
was
nominee
a birthday.
Hillary.
That was a
that
birthday.
That was a birthday.
Birthday
today, speaking of presidential.
You're saying birthday. You're saying that regularly.
How did we never hear it?
I don't know. Just you're bad and we're bad.
Birthday.
Yeah, birth.
Birth.
So maybe an apology to the listener, an apology to Casey with her finger on the button?
They can both suck it. John Cleese is 77. Duran Duran singer Simon Le Bon is 58. I'm Allie McKay. Celebrating birthdays in place of Ralph Garman walking the showbiz beat.
Before we say hi to Mr. Rome, let's give away some tickets right now to the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with the Red Hot Chili Peppers performing. It's going to be tomorrow night at Fonda Theater. Kevin, you insist, as I understand, that we do more Halloween jokes.
I am not a fan of Halloween jokes. They are for six-year-olds.
Here's what we need. If you've got a, you know, why do ghosts like to ride in elevators? I don't know why it raises their spirits. If you've got that kind of quality Halloween joke, we are looking for you at 1-800-520-1067. You win the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball tickets, also a digital copy of Sausage Party and a 55-inch TCL Smart TV. Taking your calls 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Jim Rome.
Hang on. I'm going to start this over.
Yeah.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:08, and every Thursday morning at this time, we check in with Jim Rome. Hey, Jim.
Wake up. Let's make Halloween jokes.
Kevin, are you just trying to pretend that that didn't happen? The Halloween jokes? Mr.
Hey,
Rome.
I'm with Kevin. Those jokes suck.
They do.
Really?
They're
just terrible.
They are for six-year-olds.
Team
How
Kevin.
Dare you?
You're right,
How
Kevin.
Dare you?
Kevin's
Team
right.
Kevin.
Team Kevin.
Jim does a...
the Kevin Nation.
A daily radio show, West Coast, 9 to noon. You can stream it through JimRome.com or do what I do and get the Jim Rome Daily Jungle podcast available through the website or play.it and iTunes. It's a big, big week, Jim. A lot of stuff for you to cover, including the return of the NBA. We got the World Series going on. Hockey is back. It's football's going strong. It's like it's got to be your favorite time of the year as a sports talk show host.
It's awesome. It is awesome. I'm team content. As long as there's something to talk about, I'm happy. So where do you guys want to start? Lake Show, World Series, Scottie Pippen butchering, take me out to the ball game.
Can we start
where
with
do
that?
You want to start? We can start with that.
Take right, so. Me out to
there he
the
is. There's Scott.
Ball.
Bring it, Scott.
Take me out to the ball.
Wait for it.
This. I don't care if I'm...
Wait, what? Hey, guys, not the first, and certainly will not be the last, to butcher take me out to the ball game at Wrigley, but without question, the worst in recent memory. At least he wasn't blasted. How do you not know the words to take me out to the ball game? They've got to put it up on the scoreboard. You know they give you a lyric sheet if they ask you to sing it,
yeah.
And it's not like they just pulled some chump out of the crowd and stuck a mic in his face. They knew, he knew that they were going to ask him to do that. So take 5 minutes and learn the words, Scott. No credit for nailing the first line. They spot you the first line.
robot Octavius. Yeah!
Bring it home, Scott.
That's hey, my
wait,
favorite
wait,
part.
Guys, that's the best part. However, not only is he not the first and won't be the last, but I've got something for you.
Yes.
He is now a part of a very exclusive club.
Great to be here at Wrigley Stadium. You guys ready to do this?
1, 2, 3,
and... Ozzy?
Let's go out to the bar.
Ozzy, exactly.
Take me out to the club.
Take me which one
to
is that?
The bar.
Tony Romo.
Great catch it out of you. Oh,
Dave gets Warren G.
I pity the
luscious stain in your shoes, at least until you've done the song.
What the hell is going on with that song?
They once asked me if I wanted to do it, and I said, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Hell no.
We did it
there.
Once, Jim.
How'd it go?
I mean, we sort of just let the crowd do it. But
yeah,
not
that's the key.
But we did know the words. It wasn't as noticeable as when Scottie Pippen just
who
quit.
Who was drunker between the two of you when you did that?
Oh, always me. Always, okay. Always Kevin, yeah.
Hey, but if you're a superstitious baseball person, that game that Scottie Pippen sang the take me out of the ballgame in the seventh inning stretch, that's the game that they clinched the National League title. So don't you bring him back?
No, never. For any reason, ever again.
I bring him back
on.
For the game. They could win the World Series.
The only thing lamer than Halloween jokes are superstitions. I'm not buying that. I'm not superstitious at all. Hey, Allie, how you living?
It's a shame. Why is it one, two, three?
You're going to tell me that had something to do with them winning?
I think so. Yeah.
Why, Allie?
Game. Let's go, Cubby!
Why? I mean,
hey, Allie,
I think...
a favor. Count to five. Frontwards and backwards. Do it now. Ready, go.
Jim,
I'm waiting, Allie.
I'm
waiting.
Having a real hard time with numbers.
Oh, really? Why?
Use your words.
Use your words, Allie. 1 + 1 = what?
I would bring him back in a second, Jim.
Yeah, I would too.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. Just for the comedy of it.
Because it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. As Jim, long as he boozes up and does it.
Right, exactly.
You've got two teams that are way overdue to win a World Series. The Cubs were the favorite going in, and after watching last night, I feel like the Cubs are going to beat Cleveland in the series. What do you think?
Yeah, it's been about 176 years since the two of them won this thing, and the Cubs, it's going to be worse for them if they don't win because they were expected to be there. Nobody expected to see the Indians. The Cubs were heavy favorites. They should be. They're better. They're much better. And then after watching them flip the script last night, I don't see how the Indians come back. They just don't have enough. So it's a nice, cute little story about two teams that haven't been there, but the Cubs are definitely the better team, far better. They're going to win this thing.
And Theo Epstein's still hot, right? Who's with me?
Nobody's with you, Allie. Who's with me?
Wrong room.
Wasn't sure.
And the Cubs just seem to be so incredibly
you're right. You are having a bad day, Allie. Theo Epstein's still hot.
That's her.
You're not a Jed Hoyer lady? Come on.
The Cubs just seem to have incredible patience and stamina at the plate to wear down any Cleveland Indians pitcher to wait for a good pitch or take a walk. And that's a real difficult skill to learn.
It really is. It's a great point, but not as good a point as Joe Maddon being extremely hot. Right, Matt? Right, Allie?
Right?
I mean...
All right, let's move
come
on.
Come on, Allie. Stay with me. Allie.
Let's
come
move on,
Allie.
To the NBA, Jim. What about all the haters that came out who couldn't wait to criticize Golden State for losing their first game?
You saw that coming, right? You knew the Hot Take Nation would be spewing their scorching hot lava the morning after that beatdown. You know, about how Kevin Durant's ruined the Golden State Warriors, mm-hmm. how Durant made the wrong choice in going there, how Cleveland
buy
beat
chemistry.
The hell out of the Knicks, can't buy chemistry, Steve Kerr's got to change that lineup, blah, blah, blah. Easy. It's only one game. One game against a team that won 67 games last year. But that did not stop morons from coming at me like, hey, Rome, 73-9 last year. More like 9-73 this year. Hey-o! Look, I knew this lava was coming,
yep.
But it didn't make it any less annoying. If they play like this around Halloween, it means nothing. If they're still doing it around Christmas, maybe we have a conversation. Freak out at Easter if it's going on, but it's only one game.
Magic Settle Johnson down. Surprised me, though. He even tweeted that he did not think the Warriors were as good this year as they were last year. He cited their defense and their bench.
But again, it was one game.
It's one game, and the thing about Irv, you ever read his Twitter feed? I mean, he says these things that are like so obvious and so far out there that I really think that he's trolling us. I think that he knows that we're all going to bite. I don't think he buys any of that. There's no way a guy with his background would tweet the kind of just insipid nonsense that he puts out there. I think he's trolling us. I really do.
I'm sure you, before we say goodbye, Mr. Rome, I'm sure you watched some of the Lakers game last night. What do you think of the new Luke Walton era look?
Love it. Love it. I was going to roll out this morning and say, hey, look, there's a lot to like about them, but get ready for a lot of beatdowns once again. That as cool as Luke is, he's not going to take a 17-win team and make the playoffs. I was all set to feed you that, and then they go out there and they slap the Rockets, and they look great doing it. It wasn't just the numbers. They were up-tempo. They ran. They battled. Luke coached his ass off. There was buzz in that joint. So, Laker fan, I know you've been ashamed the last couple of years. Rock your jersey, break out the car flags. You no longer have to be ashamed to say you are Laker Nation. That is cool. It was fun.
That is great news.
It's
all
been
right.
A long time since the Lakers have been fun.
It's been a long
really
time.
Has.
I'm not going to guarantee the playoffs, but I'm going to say there was a good buzz and a good vibe. And, hey, be proud. You don't have to be ashamed to be a Laker fan anymore. It's all good.
Nine to noon. You can stream the show at jimrome.com.
Somewhat good.
Jim Rome's Daily Jungle. The podcast is also available at play.it and iTunes as well. You going to stick around for some Halloween jokes, Jim?
No.
Okay.
Why would I do that?
That's the right choice.
Who dares to enter the House of Horrors?
There it is. 10-year-old Kevin to be listening to Cal. Doing it.
This is the best song you can't understand.
But then he gets to the part, man, and he just nails it. Here it comes.
Two eyeballs.
Right? I love it so much. Hey, the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball is going to be tomorrow night at the Fonda with Red Hot Chili Peppers. Speaking of great Halloween music, I think DJ Jeremiah Red is going to be opening for the Chili Peppers. It's going to be a great night. We want to give you tickets for that, plus a digital copy of the very funny Sausage Party movie and something to watch it on, a 55-inch TCL Smart TV. This time we're looking for Halloween jokes, and I know they're your favorite, Kevin. So I'm going to ask that all of the callers direct the jokes to you, okay? So if there's a question to be asked, I want them to ask you, hey, Kevin, what do you get when? All right, you ready to play?
Halloween jokes, Halloween jokes, Halloween jokes. Halloween jokes are gonna happen.
Boo! Boo!
I don't feel like he put his heart and soul into that.
Let's start with Patrick. Everybody who gets a Halloween joke on the air goes into the drawing. Someone wins the tickets for tomorrow night. Patrick, be sure to direct your joke toward Kevin. You're on the air.
All right. Hey, Kevin. Why can't witches have babies?
Why can't witches have babies?
Because their husbands have Halloweenies.
That's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it?
Yeah. Thank you, Patrick. You're on hold.
Is that how you do it?
That's how you do it.
All right. Jake in Long Beach, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to 6-year-old jokes.
Kevin.
Yes.
What do ghosts use to wash their hair?
What do ghosts use to wash their hair?
Shampoo.
Yeah, Jake.
Bring it.
He nailed it.
Bring it. John in Valencia, hi.
Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
Yes, John. What do you call a Halloween boner?
I don't know. What do you call a Halloween boner?
Petrified wood.
Roasted.
Right?
Halloween jokes, Halloween jokes, Halloween jokes.
All right, 3 for 3 in the drawing. Who's next?
Let's go to Edwin in Los Angeles. Hi, Edwin.
Hey, all right, so Kevin.
Yes, Edwin.
Why was a skeleton depressed?
Why was a skeleton depressed?
Because he has no body.
Yay!
The kids like that one, Edwin.
The
good
five
job.
Girls liked
love it.
Wow. You guys are doing this for real. Jose in Los Angeles, hi.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Bad things.
Hey. Hey, Kevin.
Yes.
Why doesn't anybody like Dracula?
I don't know, Jose. Why doesn't anyone like Dracula?
Because he has a bat temper.
Hell yeah.
Rodney loved it.
Wow. He did love that one. Kevin, I don't feel like you're playing along with the proper
amount
of enthusiasm.
I mean, I'm trying, but these jokes are so stupid.
Working their hearts out trying to make you happy.
Oh, they're not.
I mean, the delivery on some of these could, you know, pump it up a little bit.
I agree.
Right?
Travis in Newhall, hi.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean, Ali.
Hey, Travis.
Hey, Kevin, I got a question for you.
Yes, Travis.
What type of music do mummies listen to?
I don't know, Travis. What kind of music do mummies listen to?
Rap music!
Yes! 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 Yes!
See, because it's rap, W-R-A-P,
yeah,
like you
I
wrap
get it,
a bandage, Kevin.
Yeah, I get it.
You're not even paying attention.
I get that.
All right, we got time for a couple more.
Adam and Corona, hi.
What up? What up?
Bad things.
You got a question for Kevin?
Halloween jokes, Halloween jokes, Halloween jokes.
All right, Adam.
Kevin, what is a ghost's favorite dessert?
I don't know, Adam. What is a ghost's favorite dessert?
Ice cream.
All right.
I got one more.
I got to give that one a 10 for delivery. That was the best for delivery. All right, let's go to Tracy in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hi, Kevin. I have the best joke for you.
I'm great. I'm so happy, Tracy. What is it?
Okay, why do ghosts go to Halloween parties?
I don't know, Tracy. Why do ghosts go to Halloween parties?
For the free booze.
Yes, 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 and yes!
All right. Well done, Tracy. Come Thank on. You so much. Adam is also on hold.
Fine,
as
well done.
Travis and Jose and Edwin and John and Jake and Patrick. A lot of people buying for their tickets for the Carrick Halloween Costume Ball with the Red Hot Chili Peppers, plus the Sausage Party digital copy and a 55-inch TCL Smart TV. Miss Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Edwin.
Edwin.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Enjoy the party, and thanks for playing the game.
Halloween jokes, Halloween jokes, Halloween jokes.
Boo! I know we were talking about it last hour about your favorite memories of Irvine Meadows, but here's just one more that came out on the email that I have to share with you guys. Okay. It's closing down this weekend with the final two performances by Gwen Stefani this weekend, right? Kevin and B, my fondest memory of Irvine Meadows, back from the 1980s, Queen and Billy Squire were playing there. A couple friends and I went there with hopes of scalping some tickets. We tried and tried to find some, but we could not out front. We were very unsuccessful. So we decided we were going to try to sneak in from the back. We drove up to the end of the road that dead-ended into the Lion Country Safari. We went through a section of the park that the lions had access to and hopped the fence onto the grass at the amphitheater.
Sweet.
We got there just in time to see Billy Squire and, of course, the immortal Freddie Mercury with Queen performing a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I still can't believe we made it through the lion park in one piece. Now, look, I get that you wanted to see Billy Squire. I get that. Do you jump into a lion park to make it to the venue?
I mean, I don't feel that way for Billy Squire, so it's tough to say.
I don't think that would be my choice. I think I would say, you know what? The lions, that's their territory.
They win?
They win this round, I think.
I think there are certain bands you would do that for, but very few.
Maybe so. But congratulations to 8 Scott King, who is still alive and able to send that email to us. Nice job.
Them and Play Mike Tees. That was the only two. So last night I went to the Galaxy game. It was a playoff game, and the Galaxy won 3-1. And so they play again Sunday.
Nice.
And I was sitting there. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the pets that have sweaters on and people dress up their pets.
Yeah.
But there was some people pretty close to me that had a dog, a really cute puppy, like a 12-week-old puppy.
And looked like a beagle from the photo.
Yeah. No, like I'm sorry, Christine.
It looks like a boxer or like a bulldog?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was cute and it was asleep.
Why can't it just be a beagle, Christine? Why do you have to be argumentative?
Wow!
Take it easy,
Holy
Bean.
Holy crap. Okay.
I'll post it again. But anyway, so I tap the guy on the shoulder. I say, do you mind if I take a picture of your dog? And he says, no problem. So I take a picture of the dog and I post it. And then I get a text from Christine. Now, Christine is a huge Galaxy fan, but she wasn't feeling well last night, so she didn't go.
Okay.
And she said, oh my God, did you tell him to come on our show?
The dog?
She texted me. No, the guy. Because apparently the guy, then I had followed up and tweeted, apparently this dog is owned by the Dodgers' Jock Peterson.
Oh.
Now, I don't watch baseball, so I have no idea who this guy is.
Oh my
so I just
God.
Tap him on the shoulder and ask him if I could take a picture of his dog. I take a picture of his dog and post it.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody else tells me, do you know who that is? That's Jock Peterson from the Dodgers. So then I tweet that, and then Christine starts, and she gives me the crying face emoji,
right.
And she says,
Kevin.
Did you tell him to come on our show, in all caps?
I was yelling at him, yes,
and,
I was.
And I said, no, I asked him to take a picture of his dog, still had no idea who he was,
right.
Until after I took the picture. And then Christine, and by the way, here's what you need to know about Christine. The nicest person
yeah.
in the world.
Until
right.
you're not booking her favorite guy on her favorite team.
But do you remember when she first started on the Kevin and Bean show and we had to tell her, look, you're too happy early, early in the morning.
Down.
Like when we get here at 5:30, tone it down a bit. Nobody needs that much joy at that
do
time.
Do you have to smile all the time?
Yeah,
I mean, somebody actually said that to me when I started on the
so
show.
So I say, no, I didn't know who he was. I just took a picture of his dog.
Right.
And she texts, Kevin, goddammit. in all caps. And then she says, that's my boo.
Oh,
and
well,
then
I mean,
Christine texts me, I'm going to kill you.
Whoa.
I'm going to kill you.
Aggressive.
That escalated quickly.
So I laugh. So I say, ha, 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 didn't know he was your boo.
This is the weirdest sex conversation ever.
So she says, yeah, well, he's a little young and he's famous and a pro athlete, maybe out of my league, but that's all. So then I text, I have never seen you this crazy. You crazy. And she says, yes, yes, I am. This one hurts, Kevin.
Oh, my God.
You better get him to come on our show if he's there at another playoff game.
Were you supposed to somehow kidnap him, tie him up, and bring him in?
No, here's the thing, like,
I don't know
so
what I was supposed to
do. You happen to be in a suite.
Right.
At the StubHub Center.
Right.
With Jock Peterson.
Right.
Coming off of this phenomenal Dodger season, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, but you remember that
we had zero Dodgers on our show this year.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you ask him to come on to the Kevin and Bean show? Why wouldn't you?
I mean, there was a lot of downtime. You're watching soccer.
How dare you?
Oh. As a soccer fan, there is a lot of downtime.
Thank you, Kristen. Confirmed.
I only watched the seventh inning for my Dodger fan friends of the Dodgers
game. You're doing your part, Kevin. Didn't really stand out.
I have no idea.
Christ.
Oh, my God. So I have no idea who he is, and I don't mean that negatively. That's on me, but I had no
idea. That is on you, Kevin. God damn it.
And it's also kind of
awkward.
Listen
to her.
It's also kind of awkward that this guy is out, presumably with his family, at least with his dog, just trying to enjoy himself as a private citizen.
His girlfriend or wife. I don't know who he was there with, but somebody else.
I kind of get that that Kevin doesn't want to hit him up and turn it into a work thing or a pressure thing.
Plus, I didn't know who he was.
And there's that, too.
So then I text Christine, is this the first time ever that you texted, I'm going to kill you? And she said, yes, I'm not proud of myself.
Oh.
So apparently I failed because I was sitting next to Jock Peterson and I didn't know it.
Kevin.
It is funny that I tapped him on the shoulder. He probably assumed.
You were going to be like, great season, dude.
Being a professional athlete that I would want to take a selfie with him and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, can I take a picture of your dog?
Oh.
So I didn't know. And
Kevin, God damn it.
Right? Is that what we're saying? I think
God
so. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. Just tapping my voice there.
It did go high. It went pretty high right there.
8:54.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up right after the top of the hour. And we're going to be discussing not only a terrifying new health threat in America, but also my Halloween costume this year, which is super gonorrhea. So we'll talk to him about that. First, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Hey, remember back in September when Coolio had a concealed weapon? Nope. But he had a concealed weapon trying to get on a plane.
Oh, I do remember
that. Not a good situation, right?
Well, I don't think you should try to bring a weapon on a plane.
You should not. Right. Well, great news for you Coolio fans. Coolio will not be going to jail. He got 3 years probation and has to do 45 days of community service. But this is the part of the story that I really loved. The judge also said he liked the rapper's new haircut. It really suits him. What?
What?
It's in this article. So,
what
I
kind
mean,
of judge is that?
I don't. A judge
by the way,
that,
love the hair.
Love the hair. Really suits you.
That's a strange comment.
Glad you're not
going
to jail.
A judge that not only judges your case, he judges your appearance.
I mean, that's really interesting.
See how they come at black people?
What? Hmm? I feel like this will really interest Bean. Because it has to do with ABBA.
Okay.
ABBA will never reunite. You know that, Bean, right?
Yes. They've been offered over $1 billion for a couple of shows.
What was their heyday, Bean? What years were they?
They were biggest in the mid to late 70s.
All right.
Well, here's the thing. The Swedish pop group could still tour the world.
As 90-year-olds?
But how, you may ask? Through virtual reality. Rolling Stone says, that the members of ABBA are working with American Idol creator Simon Fuller. And they said, quote, we're inspired by the limitless possibilities of what the future holds and are loving being a part of creating something new and dramatic. A time machine that captures the essence of who we are and are.
Time machine. So they're going to take old footage?
I guess so, and then put it up like maybe they'll be like the holograms like they had of Tupac.
Why haven't there been more of those, by the way, with the success of that hologram of Tupac?
That's what I'm saying.
Why haven't we started to see more of that?
I don't know why they don't do it in limited amounts, but would you go see a whole concert of holograms?
A tour.
I mean, I don't think I would pay full price and go park and everything to see a hologram.
But what if it was like somebody you will never be able to see again, like a Led Zeppelin, that type of thing?
I mean, I can see for people who love Led Zeppelin, that would be good.
What about Bean? Would you go and see ABBA?
I don't think so.
He doesn't really go.
It would be like watching him in a movie. You know what I mean? To me, that's not a live experience.
Everything, I feel
Look. Did you think about the sound, Bean?
I did.
You know those movies that no sound.
Did you factor that into your decision?
I should have.
But you could possibly have like a hot dog and a soda right there in your seat. Did you factor that in?
Wow.
I mean, look, my opinion may change, and many of our opinions may change once we start to get more used to virtual reality and see what it does and see how immersive the experience is.
Yeah, and if it gets better,
Yeah. I mean, if it gets to the point where it will feel just like you're at a real concert, then maybe that might be something that might be worth doing.
Right? Plus the sound.
Plus their sound.
And the sound.
I feel like you didn't think about that.
Right.
Hey, just in time for basketball, here's a timely story. Jamie Foxx has written a new movie called All-Star Weekend. He will also be directing it. Deadline is reporting that the film is about a couple tow truck drivers, played by Jamie Foxx and Jeremy Piven.
You are all going to die tonight.
It's not a horror movie.
Oh.
Who are basketball fanatics. They win tickets to the All-Star game. And they get to see their heroes, LeBron James and Steph Curry. Also starring in the film, Eva Longoria.
All right.
Snoop Dogg.
All right.
The Game.
All right.
DJ Khaled.
All right.
And Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Nope.
No, thank you. That's a pretty interesting cast right there.
Hmm.
Good stuff.
That could be good.
It could be, absolutely. And Charlie Sheen is working on another Major League movie. What? Major League 3, it would once again have him playing Rick Wild Thing Vaughn, and he tells The Hollywood Reporter that Tom Berenger, Corbin Burnson, and Wesley Snipes are all in. They're all on board.
Do we need...
I'm not sure.
That?
And, well, we talked about this earlier. None of us really remember Major League 2.
Right.
So
maybe, no?
Maybe just leave it?
I'm done. It's on. Bring it.
Okay. Well, he's done. So he's going to bring it?
Duh.
Right there. You heard it here first, people. Hey, these people are celebrating their birthday. John Cleese is 77, and Duran Duran singer Simon Le Bon is 58. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us every week at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a very busy man, of course, on the radio on KABC AM 790 with Mike Cathwood, Monday through Friday from noon till 3. He's got a large selection of Dr. Drew podcasts, including one he does 5 days a week with Adam Carolla for you Loveline fans. And Drew, I wanted to ask you before we get into today's topic, what's this new podcast you're co-hosting called The Weekly Infusion? What's that about?
Thanks for asking. It's with Dr. Bruce, Dr. Spaz, anybody who's in the Carolla camp, Dr. Bruce Heishober, who has filled in for me on Loveline for years, and finally we just got together and thought we ought to do something medical ourselves, and it's been very interesting. We have a newsletter. Just go to doctor.com. It's all there. You'll see what we're doing.
And it looked like one of your first guests was a pathologist who sounded like she had some unbelievable stories.
Oh, you got to see this woman. I've got her reposted on my Instagram if you check that out. I mean, she is tatted up to her chin. She is this New Jersey sort of hard-driving chick who has a passion about medical education, and we loved her. She's the best.
That sounds like fun. Speaking of pathology,
Speaking of pathology, you called the Adam and Dr. Drew show last week.
I did.
What?
That's actually true. I did.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What?
Bean Baxter called the Dr. Drew and Adam podcast.
What?
With a love question?
Bean?
I had a specific reason for calling.
What?
Why did you do this to me, Dr. Drew?
Oh, no.
Look, my smoke detector battery would not stop chirping, okay?
That's a euphemism.
And it's not in this case.
And by that?
And
you mean b-hole?
We're talking about my smoke detector.
Okay.
And I had already taken the cover down off the wall, and I'd already taken the battery out, tried to put a new battery in, didn't work, took the battery back out, let it sit, put it back together, just could not get it to stop chirping. And I thought, who do I know that knows everything about stuff like this? Adam Carolla.
Adam Carolla.
He's a contractor. He knows all this.
So you emailed him.
So you texted him.
Nope. I saw, because I followed Dr. Drew on Twitter, and I saw that they were taking calls for the Adam and Dr. Drew show. So I thought this was a perfect opportunity for me to dial in and get some help with my smoke detector.
That's what that was. I saw a bunch of tweets with people giving you advice on how to fix it. And I was like, what is happening?
Now, wait a minute. Now, so first of all, we were euphoric. It was so great to hear Bean, number one. And thank you, Bean, for calling our show. We appreciate that.
I enjoyed it.
And number two, if you're an old-school Loveline fan from the Adam and Drew days, it was meta because we thought first you were BSing us by pranking a smoke detector. Because we have a long heritage of, I don't know if you know this, of hearing people's smoke detectors chirping in the background and making issue of it.
Oh.
That people could live around those smoke detectors chirping for years before they changed the damn battery.
That makes a lot of sense, as many people as you talk to.
Yes, we would hear way off in the distance, and Adam with his hypervisions go, oh, no, wait a minute. You're a lizard. How could you live like that? And Bean comes in with this thing chirping with it. Oh, okay. All right, Bean, we get it. And then he proceeded to ask a legitimate question.
It was
what?
For real.
How
yes, long it did it take you to realize he was serious?
About 3 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. We thought, didn't you hear us, Bean? We were going, all right, okay, Bean.
Yes.
We get it.
And I was confused because it didn't seem like that unusual a question to ask. I'm sure lots of people have asked the same question. But the very funny thing is that, you know, I was desperate, so I called Adam figuring he would know. And his conclusion was that my house is haunted. That's what he left me with.
Oh.
Howie, that's actually his conclusion.
Yes.
And anyone that's, again, a real Loveline fan will know that people will call, over the years, occasionally super fans would call and sort of prank us with a chirping.
That's so funny. You thought that was Bean.
Bean,
well, why didn't you just email or text or call or do any of the other things?
Again, I saw that the lines were open and they were taking calls, so I thought, why not?
Okay.
Look, he is a pragmatist, Bean, as if nothing else.
And thank you, Dr. Drew.
We were euphoric to talk to him. Kevin, you never call us. Allie, you never call.
Nor will I.
You never check in. Come on now. You guys can call, too.
Because Bean.
Asshole.
How dare you.
Right?
It was a lot of fun. All right. Now let me get to my question for you, Dr. Drew. And we touched on this very briefly just in passing last week, but I want to spend just a couple of minutes on it because this really does affect people, particularly young people that are listening to the show, because that's where the highest incidence of STDs are happening. These numbers from the CDC are very alarming, and in particular, they point out California. It seems like a huge increase in syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia. What's going on?
Well, we're number one. Congratulations, everybody.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, now. And, you know, I think we did such a great job during the sort of dark days of the AIDS epidemic of advocating safe sex, and people have lost track of that, and people are cavalier about sexually transmitted diseases, particularly the so-called classics, which is chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. And, in fact, these are readily treated with antibiotics. Sometimes as little as one dose will take care of it. But those days may be fading. The fact is, particularly gonorrhea, there are multi-drug-resistant gonorrheas up and coming. And what are we going to do when they don't respond to antibiotics anymore?
USA! USA! USA!
Kevin's just proud of us being number one.
We're still going to be number one, though, right?
I'm not sure if it'll develop here first, to tell you the truth, but I'm sure we'll surpass everyone else in our enthusiasm for embracing drug-resistant gonorrhea. And it's going to be a disaster. You forget. Infections killed people throughout human history, and gonorrhea was no exception. Lots of complications.
But, Dr. Drew, explain to me in layman's terms, if you can, how does gonorrhea know to adapt? If the gonorrhea is in your body, how does it know that antibiotics have been used in somebody else's body and knows to adapt to be stronger than that?
It's evolution in real term, in real time. Every bacteria on Earth is going through this right now. That's why physicians like me complain constantly about people demanding and overusing antibiotics. Staph, we already have MRSA, right? Mm-hmm. So the bacteria are trying to survive in an environment where they are being obliterated, and eventually some mutation occurs, and that mutation is then passed on to a couple other bacteria, and kapowee, now you have a blossoming population that can be transmitted from person to person.
Is kapowee an official medical term?
Medical term, yes.
Okay. All right.
And so it's, you know, there are various sort of sophisticated ways that bacteria learn to do this, something called plasmid transfers and whatnot. But suffice it to say, it's just biological evolution in real time, a organism surviving in adversity, spontaneous mutations occurring and then being passed to multiple generations. When that's the bacteria that survives in these environments of antibiotic exposure. And then you have resistance to one drug after the other. And that is how these bacteria live on. And that's how they will live on. And they will become resistant. It's just how it works.
And super gonorrhea, that could be passed to a baby, right?
Yeah. I mean, that mostly the real gonorrhea, well, you're assuming that somebody's delivering with an active infection and it's antibiotic resistant. The old complications of gonorrhea during delivery were eye infections on the baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not good.
If I'm going to choose one of these STDs to get, which one do I want, Dr. G?
I want the clap.
Which one's the best and which one's the worst? Wait, hold on. Do we have to pick one?
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Okay, well, let's go around the room.
Right, well, syphilis so far does not have resistance. And syphilis is, for the most part, and syphilis is very readily treated.
I'll take that one.
Yeah, the problem with syphilis is that it goes underground and you're not aware you have it if you miss the initial outbreak. And then it can end up in complications like dementia. It can eat your brain.
People die from syphilis,
too, right? Syphilis.
I do have dementia, pretty much.
Didn't Al Capone die of syphilis, Dr. Drew?
There's lots of weird theories about historical figures having had syphilis, and some may have not, but it was a pretty common illness at one time. And they used, like, mercury and things to treat it. And Abraham Lincoln had an obsession that he had this, and he took mercury for a long time. And there's all these correspondences that have been uncovered. I hope you don't mind this sidebar, but between him and a physician where he was obsessed that he had an STD, and he stayed on mercury into the White House, and that's probably why he had one of the reasons he had such severe depression.
Wow.
Abraham Lincoln was a baller.
He was, man. He had hoes in all the area codes.
Sounds like.
All right. Well, this is a fascinating story. So just give us one sentence to wrap this conversation up, Dr. Drew, with advice for people who are listening.
Wrap it up, I think, is what he's saying.
That, you know, gonorrhea is a serious infection. It can be, as chlamydia, similar, very similar. They can be complicated by tubal infections in women, tubal ovarian abscesses, pelvic inflammatory disease in men, prostate infections, epididymitis, prostate abscesses. And so without antibiotics, we're going to be in big trouble. So here's the bottom line. Use condoms.
Wrap it up.
There you go.
Here's what I know from Dr. Drew. Kapowie.
Kapowie and two.
That's what I got out of today.
And being the baller.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, noon to 3 on 790 KBC and all the great podcasts at drdrew.com. Thanks, Doc. We'll do it again next week.
You bet.
Very rarely is the city of Wildomar represented here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but thank you to Matthew Gonzalez for listening to the show. You have just won your way into the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball featuring the Red Hot Chili Peppers tomorrow night at the Fonda Theater, plus VIP access to the private rooftop party. By the way, everyone who comes to the party, wear your best costume. They're giving away a $5,000 costume contest prize and a 65-inch 4K TCL Smart TV. Pretty good deal. Details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win coming up next hour right here on KROQ.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
One more time. How about Alan McKay in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday?
I've got some sad news.
Oh.
For some people. Others will just go, huh?
Bean, do you have some sad music?
I have
company to
this ready to go.
Well, it works because there is a death. Twitter is killing off Vine. Yeah, you know those little 6-second videos?
Yes, on Vine.
They're done. The mobile app, indeed, will be discontinued in the coming months.
Is that right?
That's a
little bit of a surprise. I mean, I know it's not as top of mind hot as it once was, but I still feel like lots and lots and lots of people are using it.
Yeah, still use it. And when something funny happens, that's usually the first video to pop up. Somebody grabs something off the TV. But yeah, the bummer is that the layoffs will hit Vine today. They haven't confirmed the number, but some people are going to be losing their job, which is a bummer. But it did also bring us Vine stars, so they should be punished for that, right? Who's
you know what my favorite Vine of all time
so
was?
This isn't bad enough?
Not really.
What be?
My favorite Vine ever.
Hi, I'm sorry I didn't see you there. I was too busy blocking out the haters.
Remember him?
Yes.
Love pretty that good. Kid.
We should put together all of our favorite Vines, because mine is a guy that you just see the phone, right, and then all of a sudden up pops a picture of Ben Affleck, and you hear, it's Ben. So it's the greatest
That's funny.
Thing you've ever seen, because you're staring at this phone for 5 seconds wondering what's happening, and then Ben Affleck pops up and
That's
it's Ben. Oh, good times, you guys.
Dave reminds us that Damn Daniel was a Vine.
Damn Daniel, right. Yes. Right. You guys, we should share some Vine memories tomorrow. Really, I turned this whole thing around. I'm sad.
I'm not positive we want to do that.
Okay, we don't have to. What about a now airing date? What?
Huh?
You guys, it's Friday.
Can we have it in English? It's Thursday.
Here's the thing, it's Thursday.
Shoot.
Yeah. And
all right. We now have an air date for Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg's new show, Martha and Snoop's Potluck Dinner Party. It will be airing on VH1 and the premiere Monday, November 7th. We've got Seth Rogen, Rick Ross, 50 Cent, Jason Derulo, Ashley Graham, Robin Thicke, Bella Thorne, Ice Cube, Chris Bosh, DJ Khaled, just to name a few.
That's tight.
People that will be showing up to the dinner party.
A dozen.
She is not on this list right now.
Dick Poop.
Nope, don't see him.
Crooked Hillary Clinton.
She is not on here.
Jesus.
Oh, that would be a get. Nope.
Ken Bone.
No.
Kevin.
Is it a dinner? No, thanks.
Because you don't eat?
Not a dinner guy.
Okay. Any other names?
Boba Fett. I don't know, but that's the weirdest sentence that's ever come out of Kevin's mouth, because I'm not a dinner guy. So what do you eat at night?
I mean, I have dinner, but I'm not a...
Like a sit-down?
Let's spend 2 or 3 hours.
Okay.
I'm not that guy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Happy news for...
Not Steve, but for
David Cross and Amber Tamblyn. They are expecting a baby girl. I know, so good. Amber Tamblyn announced the news in an essay for Glamour magazine. It talked all about how she wants her daughter to have strong role models and whatnot. It's a beautiful article. You should read it. And I like those two people populating the world. Who's with me?
Same.
Excellent. And it's time for Jim Gaffigan to take a trip. He is heading to Fargo. He is going to be on FX's new season 3 of the show Fargo.
That's such a great show.
It's such a great show. And Jim Gaffigan, you guys, you know my love for Jim Gaffigan. He's going to play police deputy Donnie Masham, and he's going to be a police officer at the Eden Valley PD. Season 3 of Fargo focuses on a pair of lookalike brothers, both played by Ewan McGregor. The older of the two, Emmett, good-looking, self-assured real estate mogul. He's known as the parking lot king of Minnesota. His younger sibling, Ray, also, again, played by Ewan McGregor, is a flabby parole officer who blames Emmett for his sorry state of affairs. I'm in.
I like it.
It's going to premiere in spring of 2017. This is weird timing. Remember that whole FBI Branch Davidian standoff?
Yes. Way too low, B.
The FBI!
Yes, and Branch Davidian's confrontation back in 1993. It was a 51-day siege of this compound in Waco, Texas. It was this religious sect led by David Koresh.
Yes.
It was insanity.
Yes.
Well, Spike TV is cashing in on that recent story. They're going to do a 6-part series on the events called Waco, starring Michael Shannon and Taylor Kitsch as David Koresh.
Is this just them ripping off like the People versus O.J. Simpson?
I don't know.
It
must be, because it's like a 6-part series, so it's not like a one-off.
Huh.
So, interesting.
Okay.
Bean, you had to be into that, right, back in the day?
I mean, it was sad the way it ended. But,
absolutely. But
I think that has potential to make a good miniseries. I mean, imagine the conversations that you have if you're on either side of that, on the FBI on the outside, wondering how it's going to end, and on the inside, wondering if you're going to be able to get away or how many guys you're going to be able to take with you. That could be real good.
All right. And great news for Kevin. Sherlock has a now set debut date of New Year's Day 2017.
Can't wait.
You cannot wait. Season 4 will once again consist of 3 episodes, the first of which is entitled The Six Thatchers. And, of course, Benedict Cumberbatch, Martin Freeman, and Bean's favorite,
Amanda Abington.
Yeah.
Now, when you say 3 episodes, we think American TV, 3 episodes. This is like an hour-and-a-half movie for each episode.
Yeah.
And it's great.
It's a good show, Kevin.
Great.
Kevin loves it.
It's great.
There you have it. All of these stars were born today. October 27th, actor John Cleese is 77, and Duran Duran singer Simon Le Bon is 58. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
As many times as Allie said it was Friday today, it's not.
It is Friday. It feels like Friday.
She was trying to will it into existence today.
God, why isn't it Friday?
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour on K-Rock. Tomorrow is Friday.
Saturday we're coming in.
We have Scott Aukerman and Weird Al. Bean's favorite person. No.
What? I heard.
Don't do that. Do but not do that. That throws my whole body
clock
off.
Was I misinformed? I'm sorry. Sorry.
Movie Beat, because it's Friday, we have a brand new internet roundup. We're going to talk to Will Forte, and we've got your final chance to win tickets for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball tomorrow morning on an all-new show.